On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." This is our text. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite old sitcoms was Tool Time with Tim Taylor with Home Improvement. I loved the show. It was great. Tim was hilarious, and the cast of stars around him was amazing. But there was one program that I remember. It's a time when Tim Taylor came home. He was acted by Tim Allen. And he had his hands stuffed in his pocket. And he would not take them out of his pocket. And his family assumed he had done something wrong. But they tried to trick him to take his hands out of his pocket. And then finally, they were able to get him to take a hand out of his pocket. And sure enough, exactly what they thought. His hands were stained Kelly green all the way up to his wrists. It showed just how inept Tim Taylor, the tool man, truly is. But you see, the thing of it is, it's a perfect example of sin. See, sin stains our hearts. Sin leaves its marks on every single one of us like the paint on Tim's hands. There's nothing you can do that you can do to remove that stain of sin. Oh yeah, you can try to hide it like Tim did. And at times you try to hide it from everyone around you. And we even try to hide it from God. And sometimes we hide it so well from ourselves that we begin to convince ourselves that the stain of sin is gone. As I think about that, it reminds me of a guy by the name of David. Now, David, Scripture refers to as a man after God's own heart. Remember, as a shepherd boy, David fearlessly went down into the valley to face Goliath, and with the smooth stone and the sling, he killed the giant, and Israel was given victory. David, the great king of Israel. David, the sinner. Well, I'm sure you know the story. The knight strolling on the roof of the palace and looking down and seeing Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and she was hot. So he sends his entourage to request her presence in the palace. And she comes. And lust turns into adultery. And some people today would say, "Pastor, what's the big deal? It's only sex anyway." Even in those days, the pagans would say the same. It's not a big deal. It's a little excitement and joy for one another, and it's all over, and life goes on. Pa-ding, pa-dang, ba-doom, it's over with. After all, David is the king, and David can do whatever he wants to do. However, Bathsheba becomes pregnant. Uriah the Hittite is away at war. And he's called home from a furlough because David has hatched a plan to hide his sin from everyone. He only needs to have Uriah sleep with Bathsheba, and the problem is solved. But there's only one problem. Uriah refuses. He says, "As long as the army of Israel is in battle, I will sleep at the city gate." So David says, "It's not over yet. I'll get him drunk." And a drunk man, they only think one way. Everything will be great. My reputation will be saved. But Uriah the Hittite would not sleep with his wife. And he went back and slept in the gate and departed back to the front. But David had hatched a plan. A sinister plan, but yet a plan indeed, to cover his sin up once and for all. All of the city of Jerusalem had seen Uriah at home, and so her pregnancy would not be unexpected. What if he doesn't return? "I will send him back to the front, and they'll tell the commander to place him where the fightest is the fierce, at the height of the battle, have all the other soldiers back down. Uriah will be struck by the sword of the Amorites, and it'll be a done deal." Oh, his plan worked perfectly. And Uriah fell that day by the sword of the Ammonites. David quickly married his widowed wife to show compassion to the whole city of Jerusalem. Look at me. Look who I am. Look, I'm stepping up. And David began to think, I got away with it. That was really too easy. Have you ever been there? Have you ever committed a sin where it's like it's hidden? Nobody can see it. Or maybe you're there right now. Perhaps it's something from your past that no one ever else has ever discovered. Oh, it may even be a sexual sin. Oh, we don't ask that in a Christian congregation, but there's extramarital affairs amongst Christians as well. Or maybe it was activity before you were married with your future spouse, or maybe it was someone else, and does your spouse know? Or maybe it was once an abortion even your parents don't know about. Or maybe it's that sin is a matter of public record that everybody knows about, a divorce. But yet we've justified it in our own minds and we are glad to say why we did it. As for King David, he could hide his sin from everyone except God. See, God knew what he had done. God knew the depth of David's sin, the stain that had sunk into his heart. And so God sent David's pastor, a prophet by the name of Nathan. And Nathan stood before the great King David and began to tell him a story about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man had a huge flocks of sheep and enormous herds of cattle, and the poor man just had one little pet lamb. Oh, he loved that little lamb. That little lamb ate at his table and slept in his bed, and his children loved it. They just loved it. But when the rich man's wealthy friends came to eat with him, the rich man came and took the poor man's lamb and slaughtered it and served it as a meal for his guests to eat. David was infuriated. David's words were, "How could anyone be so heartless and callous? He should die. He should pay back four times the amount, the worth of that lamb." You can almost imagine the face of Nathan as he stands there listening to David say these words and finally looks David square in the face and, "David, you are the man." It was then that David's hands were taken out of his pockets. He could hide his sin no more. And the crushing weight of what he had done bore full weight upon his heart. He was caught red-handed. Oh, David could have said, "Who, me? What did I do?" David could have said, "What you gonna do about it?" David could have said all kinds of stuff, but his words were simply a word of confession. "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan now has King David right where he wants him. Can you imagine a pastor having a wealthy parishioner before him confessing their sins, and "I could spill the beans to everyone"? So David, you can make everything better by just tithing more and not missing church anymore. A great opportunity for Nathan to lay the guilt trip on him and give him a whole list of things you need to do before I will announce to you forgiveness. But that's not what Nathan did. Nathan looked the king in the eye who had just confessed his sin and says, "The Lord also has put away your sins. You shall not die." How sweet those words are. In the face of the guilt and being overwhelmed by your sin, to hear your pastor say, "Your sins are forgiven." These words also ring in your ears as well. In fact, you speak the words of King David in some of our divine services from Psalm 32. "I said, I will confess my transgressions in the Lord, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin." You hear those words? "I will confess." And God, you will forgive. Oh, sure, we could keep our hands in our pockets. We could convince ourselves that the Ten Commandments are antiquated and irrelevant to me today. But like John says in his first letter, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, the fact of the matter is that we know better. And that truth leads us to the place where we acknowledge before God who we are. John would go on to say, but if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then John also goes on to tell us why this is true. He says these words, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross to take the punishment for what you and I have done. For the voice of your pastor who stands before you and says the words, God has also put away your sins, you shall not die, ring in our ears. I got to be honest with you, it's one of the greatest and most wonderful pleasures and privileges I have of being your pastor, to stand before you and to share the sweet words of God's Word. As a call ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I need to be honest with you. When I started dating my wife, when I heard Pastor Real speaking those words of absolution, I kind of laughed under my breath. I said, how can that man forgive my sins? And now I am here some 20-some years later, standing in a place just like he stood and announcing the exact same words because God has declared it to be. Luther in his Confessions in the Catechism said that confession has two parts. First of all, that we confess our sins or acknowledge them. We acknowledge who we are. And the second part of confession is powerful, that we receive absolution, that is forgiveness of all of our sins, and know in our hearts that God has forgiven us. King David went on to say, When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Even though he was hiding it from everyone else, he knew in his heart what he had done, and it was actually killing him. But he says, then I acknowledged my sin in you, to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you, God, forgave the guilt of my sin. My dear friends in Christ, as we continue to make our way to Calvary and Christ's crucifixion, ultimately to the empty tomb, I want you to realize that it's Christ who pays the price for you. To take away your guilt. To take away the stain of sin once and for all. For through Him your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.